Today I'm very excited to share with you the story, the very, very quick high-level story of the 25th Infantry Wreckers. They were an all-black army team that dominated the island of Hawaii, well, the island of Oahu on Hawaii, right before the advent of the Negro National League. But first we're gonna start at the end. These are three of the greatest baseball players of all time. Of course, in the middle we have Wilbur Bullet Rogan, the 1920s Shohei Ohtani. In the Negro Major Leagues, he won 120 games among box scores that we have on Baseball Reference, lost only 52, had a 2.65 ERA. At the plate and in the outfield, he hit .338, .413 slugging percentage, .521 slugging as a hitter. And just to brag a little bit, he was a manager for a few years and went .257 and .111, which just happens to be the best winning percentage in the history of the major leagues for a manager. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1998. On the left, we have Oscar Heavy Johnson, a hitting savant. When he finally joined the Negro National League, in two straight seasons, he hit .400. The second one, he won the Triple Crown. He hit .406, and he hit 20 home runs and drove in 120 in just 98 games. For his career, he hit .370, .428, .592. And then on the right, we have Walter Dobie Moore, quite simply the perfect shortstop. Hit .350 with power. He was an incredible defender. He only played six full seasons in the Negro National League due to his career ending early because of a gunshot wound. That's a whole other story. But over that time in the league, he was third in the Negro Leagues in wins above replacement behind his teammate Rogan and some guy named Oscar Charleston. 8.7 wins above replacement per 162 games in his career shows that that's one of the best ratios of all time. But before they were all teammates on the Monarchs, they spent several years together playing for the 25th Infantry Wreckers in Hawaii. And the 25th Infantry Wreckers were an all-black army team that dominated the island of Oahu right around the time of World War I. And not only did they have a dominant roster that included Rogan, Johnson, and Moore, they had, by my count, at least 14 major Negro Leagues players, and they had several others that didn't play in the major Negro Leagues but were very interesting as well. And I started discovering this team while I was working on the Sabre Bio project for Oscar Heavy Johnson, who's pictured here in his Wreckers uniform, with Dobie Moore looking over his shoulder like, what's this photographer doing here? So the 25th Infantry's history dates back to 1866. Following the Civil War, an act of Congress expanded the number of infantry units from 19 to 45. Four all-black regiments were created, the 38th, 39th, 40th, and 41st Infantries. These units were collectively known as the Buffalo Soldiers. In 1869, the 25th Infantry was created by the merging of the 39th and 40th Infantries. The regiment baseball team was formed in 1893 while stationed in Montana. The Negro National League was not established until 1920. I mean, there were some great black teams out there, but they often struggled with their schedules, struggled with their paychecks. So playing ball in the military was actually a pretty decent way to make a living for a black ball player at the time. And as I mentioned, they were stationed on Oahu. This is one of the better pictures I have of Schofield Barracks, where they were stationed. And you can see kind of a little bit of a baseball field in there. I think that's where they played. I don't have a better image, unfortunately. And as I was doing the Johnson bio, I used newspapers.com, which I was totally new to newspapers research, thanks to Sabre's agreement with newspapers.com. Highly recommend. And I found extensive coverage. Like, there were stories, photos, and box scores. So for their time in Hawaii, not only did I find 185 game results, but 150 box scores. So I've added all those up, inspired by the Seamheads group, just seeing what the stats were like there. And I'm going to share some of those stats with you. In the 1913 season, this was their first season in Hawaii. They transferred there in 1913 from the mainland U.S. and they stayed until 1918. So in this 1913 season, they went 24-9, but that was 18-1 within the Schofield Barracks League, which was the fellow army teams. They were all white units that they played against. They went 6-8 outside of league play. So they would play like essentially barnstorming games between other teams that were on the island, civilian teams, or traveling teams that would come to Hawaii. And some of those teams deserve presentations of their own. On the right here, this is the all-Chinese team that they played against very frequently that had many players that would go on to either be signed into the organized minor leagues or to be signed and then realize that they were too dark and then were sent back to play in Hawaii. This is that all-Chinese team. Again, like, hope to do a presentation on them at some point as well because it's a very interesting team. These are four of the players on that 1913 Wreckers team. None of them played in the major leagues, but they're very prominent for the fact that they were in the unit for like 2.5 to 3 decades, some of them. This is Dad Swinton, the catcher on the left. They called him Dad because he was the old guy behind the plate. George Jasper, what am I doing here? All right, George Jasper was the ace pitcher there, second one from the left. William Cullens was a strong outfielder that played both for the 25th Infantry and the 10th Cavalry. And James Waterhouse is a personal favorite of mine. He was the other ace pitcher on the team before Rogan came along. But they all stayed through the entire stay of the major league players as well. So the 1914 season, they went 18-10-1. This is when I believe Heavy Johnson debuted. It was either in May or there's another Johnson in February, and there's actually another Johnson in December of 1913. But based on the positions they played and the results they had, I think May was Heavy Johnson's debut. Bob Fagan, who would go on to play for the Kansas City Monarchs, is here on the right. He joined the team in 1914. And Fred Galea is here on the left. He played for quite a few teams in Chicago, which I'll touch on in a little bit as well. And this player in the middle here is one that I'm really interested in because he did not play in the major leagues, in the major Negro leagues, but he was one of the very best players on the team. This is Allie Crafton. He's been of particular interest to me. In 1915, the team went 23-11. The big news here was the arrival of Bullet Rogan in July, and this is when the team really starts to bulk up. Also, we saw the debuts of Lemuel Hawkins on the left here. He was a longtime first baseman for the Monarchs. And then the player here in the middle, just know him as Smith right now. He's listed on Seamheads as Saki Smith. He was the starting shortstop for 3 years and was a really good player as well. I believe his first name was James. I have a first initial J. That's really about it right now. And here's some of those stats. Rogan hit 379 that first year he came over with a 789 slugging percentage, 9 home runs and 8 doubles in 25 games. Johnson hit 333 and slugged 552. But you can see Crafton at the top there, 342, 526 slugging, and he had 21 stolen bases to lead the team, and only 3 errors in a league that there were a lot of errors at the time. I wish I could show this up more, but I kind of got to keep going through the other seasons. On the pitching side, Jasper and Waterhouse were the co-aces, Jasper going 7-2 and Waterhouse 7-1. The next year, they are a wrecking crew now. They went 34-7. 3 of those losses came to a traveling All-American team from the mainland United States with some major and minor league players. But 1916 was highlighted by the arrival of Dobie Moore, so now those 3 are together. Also, a big highlight of 1916 was the inauguration of Rogan as the ace pitcher of the staff. And you can see his stats here, 17-2, 7 shutouts, a 1.33 runs per 9 innings. I don't have earned runs, so we're just going to go by runs. So you can imagine his ERA was probably well below 1. A lot of strikeouts, very few walks. Waterhouse and Jasper still contributing at 6-2 and 6-0, though. On the batting side of things, Oscar Johnson hit 318 and slugged 563. Rogan hit 312, slugged 565. Very similar stats. But further down, you can see again Crafton, 305, 611 slugging. This was quite the player here. He made 1 error all year, 12 stolen bases, and he was tied for the team lead in home runs with these guys. And Moore, you can see he started out as 234 with a 327 slugging. He had not really come into his own as a hitter yet. 1917, they are still continuing to go strong, 27-6, 3 of those losses coming to the visiting Portland Beavers, who were over there for some spring training before the season started. Now, they won their first 2 out of 3 games against the Portland Beavers, but then Rogan went on furlough in the middle of the series from the beginning of March until the middle of July, and they lost the final 2 games without him. But then they went on a winning streak against the other Army teams with him gone. The big arrival this year was William Big C. Johnson, who did play in the major leagues. He wasn't a huge contributor this season, but where he made a huge contribution is sharing stories about this team with researchers like Phil Dixon. So now we know a lot of great things about this team, like Rogan was always the cerebral leader. Oscar Johnson was the exact opposite. He was constantly in the doghouse and always in trouble. And Dobie Moore was a pretty average soldier. Some of these 1917 stats, you can see Moore is improving here at 286 with a 466 slugging. Johnson just went off, 379 with a 661 slugging percentage and a lot of extra base hits. And Rogan in fewer games here, he's further down, 321 with a 556 slugging. But unfortunately, Crafton, something happened to him. He hit 202 this season, 273 slugging percentage, so the power was gone too. Not exactly sure what happened to him. This is a thread I'm continuing to pull on to see why he was one of the very best players. And then here, he dropped off immediately and then was off the team. On the pitching side, Jasper filled in admirably for Rogan when he was away, going 8-0, but Rogan went 7-1 with a 0.83 runs per nine innings, and Waterhouse still contributing there at 6-1. 1918 is their final season in Hawaii. They went 14-1. It took a long time for me to find one of these losses. I finally found one a few months ago, and it was against the junior Wreckers, so that must have been some good bragging rights there. August 11th, they played their final game in Hawaii. And on August 27th, as they were en route to the mainland to be stationed at Nogales, Arizona, at Fort Huachuca, Camp Stephen D. Little, and then they eventually moved to Huachuca. But as they were en route, the Battle of Ambos Nogales broke out, and that was a border conflict that killed 4 Americans and 129 Mexicans, and another 330 were wounded. So while they were over there, once they arrived on the 30th, they were assigned to keep peace on the border in Nogales, and then they were keeping guard of the very first permanent border structure between Mexico and the United States. So that's a strange little piece of history that they're associated with as well. We do have those 1918 stats, even though not much baseball was played after they went to Arizona. But these are the ones that I have in Hawaii, and they were just at their peak right now. Johnson hitting 444, slugging 711. Rogan was hitting 378 and slugging 595, Moore at 277 and 468, just a great all-around team. And on the mound, Rogan found a new level. Nine games, he won them all. Seven starts, he threw shutouts in all of them. He allowed two runs all season. Just 27 hits and 92 strikeouts, a 0.25 runs per nine innings. Just unbelievable. In 1919, they were in Nogales, Arizona, full-time. Very few scores were published, very few box scores, well, actually no box scores are available for 1919, but they did play five games against Casey Stengel's traveling all-star team. And what's interesting about this series is that Rogan was again not with them at the time, neither was Hawkins or Galea. And Smith and Crafton had actually already left the unit. So this was a relatively depleted 25th Infantry squad against Stengel's major and minor league all-stars. And they won two out of the first three games against Stengel's team. And they did so well at the gate that they added two more games, and then the team split those games as well. So they put in a very good showing against Stengel. In 1920, hardly any scores found. I found just one box score, but it's an interesting story. Because in June, the team went to St. Louis to take part in the Olympic trials ahead of the Olympics. And while they were there, Rogan and Moore, or maybe it was slightly before, Rogan and Moore signed on with the Kansas City Monarchs. So this was in early 1920. So they're without Rogan and Dobie Moore now. June 24th, Johnson actually joined the St. Louis Giants for a game. He came off the bench for that one. I don't have that box score. But then 4 days later, the St. Louis Giants played against the 25th Infantry, and that's the box score here in the middle. The infantry team won 4-1. Interesting names in this lineup, not just Johnson, but also Branch Russell, longtime St. Louis Stars outfielder. Carl Glass was a longtime major Negro Leagues pitcher. And Mose Herring and Stewart are in this lineup as well. And they actually were signed with Johnson by the St. Louis Giants after this game. So Johnson thought he was out of the army, and he would find out that he was wrong. But on July 4th, they all played together against the Monarchs. So they're playing in the Negro Leagues against Rogan and Moore. I don't have a box score for that, but I have a box score from the next day where they all beat the Cuban Stars 10-6, and Johnson had a bases loaded triple in this game. So unfortunately, Johnson found out after that game that he was getting pulled back to the Army, probably because he wasn't a great soldier to begin with, so they weren't going to give him up. But Stewart and Mose Herring were allowed to stay on with the Giants. And here are the total batting totals from all of the seasons that I have. And I just want to point out Johnson, 345, 589 with a lot of extra base hits and speed. Rogan, also 338 with a 624 slugging. Moore is down here at 265, 415. And again, you see Crafton, 285, 469. He had the most steals of any player and only 10 errors. He was just an all-around player. And, on a team with 14 major league players, he was probably the third best player. On the pitching side, it was a three-headed monster here. Rogan, of course, at 34-3, 1.03 runs per nine. Waterhouse, 29-8. Jasper, 26-5. So these guys never pitched in the major leagues. They were in the Army for 25 to 30 years each, but they were great pitchers nonetheless. I mentioned the 14 major Negro League players on the team. Here's a list of them at the end here. Obviously, Rogan, Johnson, and Moore. I mentioned Branch Russell as well. Lemuel Hawkins, I also am noting here when these players played for major league teams in Chicago, and he played for the Chicago Giants in 1921. Not the American Giants, but the other team. Carl Glass pitched seven seasons, one of them for the Chicago American Giants in 1930. Pinky Ward played seven seasons in the Negro Leagues. 1924 was with the Chicago American Giants. We have Big C. Johnson. We have Alfred Army Cooper. Stewart played three seasons, one of them with the American Giants. Bob Fagan played two seasons. Herring and William Linder played one season apiece, as did Fred Galea. But Fred's interesting because he's the only player that was on teams that appear on the Seamheads Negro League database and then joined the military, and then from there joined the Negro League. So he also played for the 1909 Illinois Giants, the 1919 Chicago American Giants, and the 1911 Chicago Leland Giants. Not members of the 25th Infantry. So here in Bill McNeil's book, we can see that Andy Cooper and Hurley McNair are identified here. But those are actually James Waterhouse and Allie Crafton, who happen to be two of my favorites. I think Andy Cooper was just mixed up with Alfred Army Cooper. And Hurley McNair, I can't find any evidence that he played with the 25th Infantry. I'm gonna keep looking though. I'm signed up for his Sabre bio, so that's part of the thing that I'm digging into. And that is it. I have this website here that has all of those stats if you wanted to check them out, because I kind of blew through them. But I appreciate you listening to this intro about the Wreckers. And any questions? Yes.
Hi. First of all, that's a really cool jersey you're wearing. Oh,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Second of all, since this was before the draft, do we know why these players enlisted in the Army in the first place?
That's a great question. I can really only speculate, and I think it has to do with the fact that the 25th Infantry was known at that point as a great baseball team. So if black soldiers were signed up and were known to be good players, they were recruited for it. Bullet Rogan was actually recruited from the 24th Infantry, who he played baseball with Oscar Charleston as part of the 24th Infantry. The 25th then recruited him heavily to join. So it was essentially a professional baseball team.
But why would they have joined the Army in the first place?
My best guess is the steady paycheck playing baseball.
Thank you.
Mike? Adam, that was fantastic. And I was going to ask literally the same thing, but I also want to know, I might have missed it, what position did Crafton play?
Crafton was a left fielder. What was interesting, I meant to touch on, in 1916 when the Hawaii Papers actually announced an all-star team, and the only two unanimous all-stars were Crafton, who got every vote at left field, and then Rogan got every vote, but he got it at like six different positions because he floated everywhere, and he was getting votes at positions he didn't even play just because people wanted to fit him in to their all-star team.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you very much. Stick around for Gary Gillette. Up next, talk about another Wrecking Crew, the one-man Wrecking Crew of Cherokee Strands.